right, here we are. This is the program Is Abled, ISABLED, the radio show about possibilities. And my name is Dr. Steve Nurse. Almost worth getting a degree to be called Dr. Nurse. But we're doing a second segment here. We've been talking about service dogs, service animals, difference between service animals and emotional support animals and therapy animals. There's quite a lot of controversy about support animals. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the differences. In our first segment, Char Phillips talked a lot about service animals and what the, some of the requirements were there. And Jenna just got started. Jenna Risdahl, who's our other host, who is an educator, lives on the island, still does a lot of work and a lot of nonprofit work with agencies that work with dogs, and she evaluates dogs to be therapy dogs. So with that, I'm going to turn this over again to Jenna and let her. I think we talked a little bit about service dogs, but again, Jenna, maybe just go over just a couple little points about service dogs.
Okay.
And we can kind of talk about differences there.
Sure. So as Char said in the last segment, assistance animals or service animals have a task to do for a specific person. It's like someone visually impaired or hearing impaired. So that's just a really basic definition of what service animals do.
And I think that that's interesting you mentioned that, because I know with some of the dogs that were trained at the prison, for instance, they had one gentleman there who was a was getting a dog, receiving dog, and he has problems with seizures. And the dog was trained, I could not believe it, he actually did a demonstration. The dog was trained to grab him by the t-shirt, or the shirt, whatever he had. This is a pretty large black lab. Turn him over, and then lay on him so that he wouldn't
hurt himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then to bark and, you know, signal for assistance.
Right.
So it's not like a dog going to college. You know, you take your basic set of classes. Each dog is really trained very uniquely for who they want to pair that dog with, what person.
Right. And I don't know if you know how they train these dogs, but it has to do with the blood of the person. They can detect changes in the blood. And that's how they know a seizure is coming.
And I had heard, too, I think with the diabetes, they can smell a difference. There's a more of an acidy smell. I've heard sometimes people that will have problems with diabetes may almost have like an alcohol smell on their breath.
Right.
And a lot of times they've been misdiagnosed by, you know, police officers thinking they're drunk, and it's really that diabetes episode coming on. So
those dogs are considered working animals, not pets, whereas therapy animals are people's pets. And the person, it's a therapy dog team or therapy animal team, and the person working with the dog is called a handler, but it's actually their pet, so they own the dogs. And
so they take care of them during the day.
Right. And a therapy animal, unlike the service dog, does not have rights of access, except in those facilities where they're welcome. They say pets welcome. But if a door says no pets, then they are not allowed in the cabin of an airplane. They are not allowed in restaurants, regardless of what therapy designation they have.
If they're a therapy dog.
If they're a therapy dog. And I wanted to talk about the designations a little bit, because there are different things that therapy dogs do. And one of them is...
And you talked about AAI and AAT.
Right. So AAI is animal-assisted interventions. And that is like your normal visits to a hospice place or a hospital or a nursing home, something like that, or school where you might read to a child, or the child is quote-unquote reading to the dog in a non-judgmental situation.
Sure.
And so that's AAI. Then you have AAT, Animal Assisted Therapy, which means the dog is there for a goal-oriented, planned, structured, documented therapeutic intervention. So that means, say there's a physical therapist working with someone who is working on mobility, and the dog is there to motivate and stimulate that person to want to work a little harder, reach a little farther. Can you reach out and pet this dog? So that's what AAT is. And
So we're tricking the person into being more therapeutic, yes.
So practitioners might be, you know, doctors, OTs, PTs, recreation specialists, nurses, social workers, counselors, things like that.
Yeah.
Then there's animal-assisted education. And that's also goal-oriented, structured, planned, where you might have a special education teacher working with an autistic child. Dogs are wonderful with autistic kids and very motivating. Or a special ed student who can tell a dog to sit and the dog will sit. So a lot of these special ed kids do not have much control in their lives. And if they can work with an animal, they're just overwhelmed.
Can dogs learn some signs, like a sign language?
Dogs do know sign language.
I have heard that actually occurs.
Yeah. I was working in a school, and one of the little special ed nonverbal kids was having a meltdown, as we call it. And she called and she said, you know, he's got a dog at home. Maybe if you bring your therapy dog in, that will help. And so I brought Riley in, my therapy dog at the time, and the child just totally calmed down, put his arms around the dog. And so frequently she would call me and saying, Cesar is having a meltdown. Can you come in with Riley?
Yes.
And it's very heartwarming to see what happens between a child and a dog.
I use some sign language with my dog. If I, you know, move my hand in a signal, in a circle, the dog, and I want to check her to see if she's any problems with fleas or scratching or anything, and I want to check her underside, I just do that. And, of course, now what she does, she thinks she'll get a treat. So I used to have her do a few things kind of in a series. So now she does, she's learned that if I do that, she'll like, okay, I got to do three things if I'm going to get the treat. So, it, you know, now I've got to kind of break them up a little bit more. But she's thinking ahead.
Well, also in dog behavior, in dog language, they look at body language first. So you teach them a signal. Then you add a word to it because they are more attuned to your body and how you move than they are to your words. So they have to learn the words, but they will very quickly learn if you put your hand in a downward motion, that means down. If you put your hand in an upward motion, that means sit. And so that's when you're training a dog. That's how you train them with signals.
That's interesting because when I tell Ellen and I want her to go to her bed, somebody's coming over to the house and I just say, Ellen, go to your bed. But I didn't think about it at the same time. I'm kind of putting my hand down and probably pointing to the bed and
giving her a signal.
So she's picking that up. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, and then the last kind of animal assisted working is the workplace well-being. So as you know, dogs help reduce stress and they help people feel better. And dogs can go to a workplace, therapy animals, where they're just present there and people can come over and pet them and love them up. And I used to work in a school district administration office and I would have administrators coming down to my
desk.
Was
that ERAC?
Yes, in Highline.
ERAC, yes.
Yes.
The old bowling alley.
That's correct. And they would come running in and say, oh, I need my Riley fix, you know,
yes,
and they get down and hug the dog. And, okay, now I can go back to work.
Yeah, and I understand that they've actually had some research done where petting a dog can reduce your blood pressure.
It does. It absolutely does. You know, there are so many benefits to pet ownership as well as therapy dogs. They provide social support. They lower your blood pressure to mental stress. Survival rates during heart attacks are higher if you have an animal. You live longer if you have an animal. The studies that are being done are absolutely amazing right now. And they have specific programs at universities on animal-human bonding and what that can do for people and how that impacts people. There's a reduction in cardiovascular disease if you have a dog. So the list goes on and on.
You know, one of the things we talked to Char about earlier was this certification. Would you like to see more certification? That, I mean, we don't want more regulation, but do you think that would help if we had?
You know, the bottom line in working with animals is safety. Safety for humans and safety for animals.
Thank you. Yes.
So the more training, the more certification you can get, which kind of segues right into emotional support animals. And it's a little bit of a sore subject with me, and I can get very animated about it because...
And these are the opinions. Of
only an opinion.
Only an opinion, yes.
Sometimes they're referred to as comfort animals. Sometimes comfort animals mean a trained therapy dog, but it's a pet that provides a therapeutic support to someone with mental illness, usually. And the only thing you need to be designated as an emotional support dog is a letter from a licensed healthcare practitioner. So you get this letter, and then you show it to the airline people, and you're allowed to take that animal on a plane. The dogs don't have trainings at all, and you can buy a vest online that says emotional support dog, and it can be a dangerous situation. I've heard of dogs. In fact, I was talking to a flight attendant at the airport, and she said there was a emotional support dog on a plane. Dog jumped off the owner's lap, bit a man in his artery in his leg, and they had to do an emergency landing. So that's not safe.
No, and I think that's really key, and that's what you really, and I know one of the things when I work with a lot of the schools, and they're concerned about, you know, emotional support animals, of course, the school is worried about that issue of litigation, you know, or it's one thing to have the dog, but if the dog bites someone else, also the responsibility of who's going to, is it the school district's responsibility? I don't think so, to toilet the dog and to feed the dog and to make sure the dog has water. So I think when you bring an animal into a different environment like that, you're really creating some issues in itself. The dog may not be comfortable in that environment, or maybe smells or something that they don't like at a hospital.
And according to the ADA, individuals with emotional support animals do not have the same rights to public access as service dogs. And emotional support animals may only accompany their owners if the people give permission in the venue or facility.
And that's what Char was saying. So,
but people take advantage of that.
Yep.
And they say, I've got an emotional support dog, so I'm going in the grocery store.
Yep.
Well, that's really only if the grocery store owner says, yes, that is acceptable here.
Yeah, and I think it's easy enough to get a letter, and I don't want to, you know, badmouth anybody, but, you know, it's like I have a placard to park in a wheelchair place, and when I see someone in a truck that's 12 feet high and they sprint for the Thriftway,
exactly.
I wonder how much they really need that parking permit. I realize that there are non-visible disabilities. But, I think there's a lot of ethics involved, really, in having a dog like that.
Exactly.
I think you have to be really...
And, you know, I know they're training a lot of service animals for PTSD and veterans and other people that need them. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. But when they just have an emotional support dog that hasn't been trained, then I fear for the safety of the public and other animals.
Tell us a little bit about Rain. How do you, your own dog, how do you use, and is Rain a female?
Rain is a female. Okay. She's half yellow lab, half golden retriever.
Uh-huh.
And she is made for love. She loves everybody, loves every situation. So Rain's had quite a history of 7 years of being a therapy dog. We currently go to the airport where we comfort travelers. And we have businessmen in their suits down on the floor with her. We have families surrounding her. She is very popular there. And I had one young man come over, and he was, you know, piercings, tattoos, everything. And he was down on the floor with Rain. And then he got up and he said, "This is the best airport ever."
Yes, yes.
And it does. It really helps her travel. Another woman said, "I've been here for 5 hours, and this is just what I needed." And just giving her love.
Even if it's just to kind of change your attitude for a while.
Exactly.
You know, I always, when I talk to my wife, I always laugh. I always say, you know, if I had it to do over again and I had been, you know, 20 years old, I would have had a dog and I would have walked my dog around, because everybody comes up, you know, all the women and men and everybody come up and want to pet the dog. And
you know, it's a chick magnet, Steve.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, I am anyhow, but, you know,
of
what
course.
Can I say?
Yeah. So even if people don't stop to pet her, they will look at her and smile. And so that's just one of the things she does. We read with elementary students at Chautauqua. She's been to colleges and universities during finals week, graduate programs, to help reduce stress with students. And she's been at the nursing home. She's been in a play, which on Vashon, some
of really?
You may have seen, you know, the Albert Paw.
Oh yeah,
play.
Yeah,
yes. She was in that play, and she's, I think, going to be in another one this spring. But anyway, as I said, it brings a smile to people's faces. Just seeing her, and she's.
I'd have a real hard time being without a dog.
I agree.
Not a me. Let me ask you this. You know, we talked about some of the benefits of the human-animal bond. I've got a list of kind of skills here that they think that, you know, service dogs are, and I think these would also apply to the therapy dogs. Tell me which of these you think are really important. The dog should know as much as you know the dog, and the dog should be loyal. You think loyalty is a big issue?
Loyalty is a big issue, and dogs are by nature loyal. So you don't have to do a whole lot to do that. But just by teaming with your dog and working on becoming a therapy dog, like taking any class with the dog, sort of cements that bond that you have with the animal. And you feed the dog, you love the dog, you take care of the dog's needs, they're going to be loyal.
Yeah.
And there are 24 exercises that a therapy dog has to pass in order to become a therapy dog. It's a rigorous evaluation. It's a rigorous training. And one of the reasons I work with pet partners is that they have very high standards, and they are well-renowned and respected as an organization.
You know, there's a country western song that said, basically the theme to it is, "I wish everybody would treat me like my dog treats me." You know, and it's kind of, you know, the dog never tells me to get off the couch, or, you know.
Isn't that the truth?
You know, and you can come home and have the worst day in the whole world, and the dog still wants to get up, Ellen still wants to get her pets and comes up alongside me and wants to sit down by me.
She wants to comfort you. So what we're looking for might be on your list is a dog that's predictable, reliable, and controllable.
But I think controllable is really key there.
Yes. And I think the other thing that we look at in therapy dogs is the owner has to be aware of the dog at all times and the dog's comfort level. We have something called yayaba, which means you are your animal's best advocate. You must be looking at your dog and knowing, is my dog looking for stress signals?
You're just talking into the microphone. You're doing great.
I need to get a little closer to the microphone.
No, you were fine, but when you turn your head.
So anyway, I was talking about also taking care of your dog. And we look at dogs and having stress signals. And if your dog is what we call in the yellow zone, you need to do some intervention to get that dog back in the green zone. Might be just a pet. It might be just a calm word. But you have to help your dog. And we call that PETS, which is proximity, eye contact, touch, and speech. And those are ways you can comfort your dog, and because a dog will get stressed out in a situation at some time.
And the one thing that I see on every one of these lists, and we have talked about this before, but is that issue of being socialized and right. and being in different situations. Now, for me, one of the things that they talk about here is a dog independently or with your prompts getting in and out of a vehicle. And I cannot stress that enough for me, because I get in my wheelchair, I get out of the vehicle, and Ellen stays in the vehicle. And then when I'm after I'm out, I just say, Ellen, come. And I say, bring me your leash. And she's right there with me. Now, the one time that that didn't happen, we were down by Highway 99, and a truck came by that had the brakes making all the noise, and the motor backfired. And she took off like a light, and I across 99. And I just, it's kind of like watching your kid run across the freeway,
It is.
And she was just fine. And fortunately, somebody was over there on the other side and stayed with her, and we got her back. But, yeah, I think those things, we also have to be prepared for those kinds of issues. Yeah.
Something comes up really suddenly. Yeah. And that is so true. You have to have basic obedience skills. You have to have come, stay, down, sit, leave it. Leave it's important, because if you're in a facility, there's a pill on the floor, your dog has to respond to leave it. You do not want that animal to have.
Or you're out in the public. What I see a lot is, you know, somebody that's thrown a cigarette butt.
Exactly.
You know, and of course, even though it's probably, we wouldn't pick it up and want to sniff it.
A puppy would.
A puppy would. Yeah, mm-hmm. The dogs do. That's all new smell. It's interesting when you talk about Rain, because then I look at my list, it seems like she fits just these things to a T. Eager to work, right?
She loves her work.
And I think this is a really neat one, too. Alert, but not too reactive.
Right.
You know, don't be jumping at every little thing.
So I'm just going to interject, because people bring young dogs in to be evaluated. And they're eager, and they're very energetic. So what I might do is, if they pass the test for the evaluation, I would give them a qualification of saying that you need to work in an environment that is quiet, that is one-on-one, because your dog really reacts to a lot of stimulus. So you can do that in your evaluation.
That's interesting, too, because, you know, if you're, for instance, working with kids reading, it's probably a quieter situation.
Correct.
You know, I notice dogs will sometimes react to people moving around them. Somebody comes, you know, so I can see why that would be really important.
So the dogs have to be comfortable around all kinds of equipment, certainly hospital equipment. So we train them to not react to that. You wouldn't want a dog that wouldn't want to go up to someone in a wheelchair that was afraid of the wheelchair.
That would almost be negative kind of response. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do a test for that in the evaluation. Will this dog approach this person coming toward them in a wheelchair? Or will they approach two people that have been angrily yelling at each other?
Uh-huh.
So we test for all of those things.
And where do you get the dogs? Just from just people?
People bring it's their pets.
And they bring them in to be evaluated.
Mm-hmm. And there's an online study course that they have to pass, or you can take it in person as well. And then they can go online and look at an evaluation and have their dog practice the skills that they need. Sometimes there are classes. I teach a class on Vashon of preparing dogs.
And how many people do you usually get to those classes? Are there a lot of interest?
We usually have about four or five that are coming in that are interested in being a therapy dog team. And then we'll have four or five that are already therapy dog teams and just want to re-up their skills.
Yeah, I think that's important, too.
You have to reevaluate every 2 years, and you have to take a knowledge assessment as well.
And I know with Ellen, too, at least several times a week, I'll just take her aside and go through her skills.
Exactly.
And make sure she knows exactly what we're doing.
I'm taking my 2-year-old golden retriever in to be evaluated in February. And I am hoping that she will do what I want her to do because she can be stubborn. So we're working really hard in preparation.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Let's see. What else do I have down here?
I wanted to add one thing. You can only work a therapy dog for 2 hours at a time because they, after 2 hours at the airport, Rain is just, she's looking toward the exit. So I just wanted to give you that parameter as well.
Yeah, that's and I think that it's interesting when we talk about people that are working during the day, they need a break. You know, they need that 15-minute break. And, of course, the dog would need a 15-minute break to go out and smoke. But, you know.
A potty break.
Yeah, that's right. And they always let you know when, you know, that's another thing. The dog needs to let you know what they need.
Correct.
You know, do it. And I can tell with Ellen, if she needs to go outside and, you know, use the restroom.
And that's because you've spent a whole lot of time with her and you guys know each other really well and you know your signals.
Yep. And I know that, and I always carry my bags with me and I'm always prepared. Always carry water.
A responsible pet owner.
Well, I try to be. I try to be, that's for sure. Well, I think that that's going to just about wrap it up for the day. But I think that hopefully by now you know the difference between a service dog and a therapy dog and an emotional support dog. A tremendous amount of difference and tremendous amount of difference in how they are trained and how they are certified. And so we will carry on from here. We will have our third segment, and we will be talking to people who actually have these dogs. Thank you, and goodbye.